following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
State Farm, this is Greg.
Just calling to say thanks for the gift of bagpipes. I've always wanted my own set of these. And then we switched our auto and home insurance to State Farm and saved ourselves $825.
A lot of people do. Some save even more.
My wife was always coming up with excuses like, you don't know how to play bagpipes.
She may be right.
Save hundreds when you combine auto and home insurance with State Farm. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM and get to a better state. Average household savings based on 2012 national survey of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
If your business is spending too much on ink and toner every month, talk to Cartridge World. With 600 stores, we're home and office printing pros, and we'll help you save hundreds of dollars. Our ink and toner costs about 30% less than the superstores. 30%. Cartridge World. We're home and office printing pros. Give us a call and save every time you print. Up to 30%. Find a store near you at CartridgeWorld.com. That's CartridgeWorld.com.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Friday morning, it is the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy Bushcutter, Jim Langan with you, as we'll be talking about, among other things, the Super Bowl, Nebraska recruiting. We'll talk Nebraska danger football, as well as some basketball, some great basketball last night. Nice wins, come from behind wins for both the Lopers and the Huskers last night. And Jimmy Langan, glad you could join us.
Yeah, good to be here.
Did you get a chance to watch either and or both those games?
You know, I was reffing in Mid Plains, and Kevin O'Connor won a game last night.
Good for him.
Yeah, they're having a good season right now. So, yeah, that's where I was at last night. But I did get to listen to the Nebraska game on the way home, you know, listen to him miss some free throws, you know. And, of course, that was what we talked about last time, that they got to knock down some free throws. But this time they held on and won. It sounds like UNK's men, too, came from behind and had a good win, too. So
yeah, they were down 10 at halftime, I think it was, and then they ended up coming from behind. And I want to talk about both of them. The first one, Nebraska, probably is going to carry a little bit more high rank here. They're 10-1 at home. And that one loss was to Michigan, a game that they really – a call here or there might have gone, I hate to say that to an official here, but I kind of felt like there was a block, and they a charge rather, and they called it a block, and it was just that close, and Nebraska could be undefeated at home. How different would things be if they would have had that win against Michigan? Now, that one you stormed the court for.
Yeah, that would have been a nice win, yeah. Right, for them. You know, like, you're exactly right. I'll tell you what, though, any time you play anyone at home in the Big Ten, it's going to be tough to beat them. Any team at home, and you know, Vegas understands this too. I think people understand it. The average basketball fan understands this too. I mean, you know, Nebraska plays Ohio State, and the game's at Ohio State, and Ohio State's favored by 20. And all of a sudden, Ohio State comes into Lincoln, and the spread's 3.5.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody's got it kind of figured out, yeah.
That home court does mean something. And Pinnacle Bank Arena, as we mentioned, they're 10-1 there. That it really has turned into a real home court advantage for Nebraska. The crowd was electric last night. I watched it. I had a couple games I had to do up in Amherst and came back and watched it on the DVR. And you really could sense the crowd impacting the game. And the game was over when I watched it, okay? But on television, had a chance to kind of watch it. And then I didn't look at any of the tweets because I wanted to know. I didn't want to know how the game was turning out. You know, I wanted to be able to kind of enjoy the drama of the game and stuff. And then I started looking at the tweets, and Sean Callahan, among others, just kind of really was commenting how much the place was rocking. Lee Barfneck from the Omaha World Herald was talking about the crowd being a major impact of the game, and that's kind of nice to see that people really want. And this is one of Callahan's tweets last night. You can really sense how much people want Nebraska basketball, how much these fans want Nebraska basketball to be relevant, and we're heading in that direction. We're getting there. It's moving in that direction.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes, I mean, what it takes is, you know, just a couple players, you know, to play well, and then all of a sudden that third guy comes up and he starts playing well. You know, I think when you go on the road, you need about four guys to have really nice games for you to win. You know, but sometimes at home, you just need two guys to play well. But Nebraska right now, for them to win at home, they're going to have at least three to play well. And what I'm talking about when I say play well, they have to have pretty good games because they were down 32-16 at one time. Did you know that?
Yeah. They were down 32-16. And then, you know, during that, when they fell behind, Indiana banked in a couple of threes. Yeah. So you didn't have I didn't have the sense watching it that they're going to continue to do that. That Nebraska was going to find some way to make it interesting. I mean, I really had that sense that they were going to do that, but they were down 16. It would have been fairly easy to pack it in, but again, I had that sense from watching the game, and I watched it tape delayed, essentially, that Nebraska is going to come back. They're going to do something.
You know, I don't know if I think a word that maybe is overused is when we talk about the chemistry of a team, but I mean, at least we all understand what that means. And, you know, sometimes you'll have a team and the chemistry is fun to watch. I mean, you like the way, hey, this guy's hustling for the loose ball. This guy blocks shots. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, this guy's our three-point shooter. Hey, this guy just kind of does it all. You know what I mean? This guy's a scorer. This is our defensive player, you know. I mean, so that's the chemistry that you have. So when all of a sudden when one of those guys that's supposed to block a shot does one, the crowd goes wild. You know, and I think the same thing's true right now with UNK, what they're doing.
Yeah.
They got the chemistry going, too, where they've got players that are getting points, but they're also got guys that are diving after loose balls, and you've got to have that whole sense of that. You know what I mean? And it's fun to go out and watch a team that just shoots threes, but it's nice to see some other things too. You know, people that take the charging fouls and whatever. So no matter what you're doing in a basketball game, everybody's got to do something to help contribute to the win.
Yeah, you have to be greater than the sum of your parts, and that's exactly what that chemistry means. And I wondered if the big situation that you didn't really kind of get the understanding, and it never was really said, that maybe Nebraska would be more without him because it might add to the chemistry, that the thought was he wasn't holding up his end of the bargain, and if you're not going to hold up your end of the bargain, you're not going to be here. And I think that might be, and it wasn't really spoken, it wasn't really said, but I have a feeling that might not have been, you know, the case, that they kind of felt like we might be more without him because it's going to help our chemistry. If we have to kind of cut somebody loose, then keeping them around if they're not going to hold up their end of the bargain, if they weren't going to be accountable.
Yeah, and I guess, you know what, I don't know for all the sequence on what happened and what took place, but it seems to me that you look at your head coach and you're hoping that the head coach is going to make the correct decision for the entire team. Now, there may be a game or two. I mean, let's be honest about this. You know, as a head coach, and if I'm going to coach 30 games, and we might go 20-10, but if I've got one player that's a really good player, but he's kind of a poison, you know, I'd rather go 20-10 with these guys than 22-8 with that guy.
Right.
You know, if that makes some sense to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I don't know how bad I want to go 10-20. You know what I mean? I'm pretty competitive. 10-20, I'm going to be looking for another job myself, you know. But, you know, so I don't know all the specifics, but I think the history of some of the coaches that we've had at the University of Nebraska, even though some of them haven't won, I think that all of them, that I've been associated with, all of them had a pretty good character. You know what I mean? All the head coaches in Nebraska had pretty good character. You know,
I absolutely would agree with that. The one time that it kind of came into question a little bit was at the end of the Danny Nee era. If you kind of remember, there was a time they had really great chemistry, but the last few teams, I think they had a lot of talent. It just didn't play real well together. They didn't play real well for Coach Nee for whatever reason. And I think that was the one element of that time that maybe that wasn't true at Nebraska. And you're absolutely right. But I think there was that time. And that's one reason why it unraveled on Coach Nee. You know, it wasn't they didn't have talent. Is because they didn't necessarily play hard for him for whatever reason.
Yeah, and there were some situations we won't get to on the radio, but we'll talk to anybody about him someplace else. Yeah. But that is probably true. And you know, really, when you look back and Mo Ibe, you know, when those teams played, they played a little bit of a slower tempo because he believed in, you know, taking time off the clock and using that the shot clock to his advantage, and he worked his man to man offense, and they really worked that. This wasn't something that we just threw it around for a while. I mean, they really were trying to get that other team, and if the other team's man to man defense was really, really tight and good, Mo was really good at making them. He'd work his offense and be extremely patient and wear down that defense. And Nebraska had some games where they came from behind and pulled away and won late in the game. But the average fan didn't see it that way. They wanted somebody to run up and down the floor, and that's what Danny Nee's teams did. But when you do play just one direction and it doesn't go well, like you said, it goes off pretty fast.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
You stay off the rail, and you get off the rail, and you stay off the rail. Nebraska, UNK last night, both the Huskers and the Lopers coming from behind. UNK scored 59 points in the second half last night. You know, so they were on pace to score 118 points. And the offense has been some area that both Nebraska and UNK has kind of struggled at from time to time. But 59 points in the second half, that's incredible. They end up having five different Lopers that end up scoring in double digits. And again, Mike Detlinger, 6 of 12 from the field, 9 of 11 from the free throw line in the second half as UNK hit 21 of 31 free throws down the stretch. That was awfully nice as they were able to kind of come from behind. They shot 65%. In the second half, 65% in the second half. You know you're working the ball great offensively, getting some steals, getting some layups, and really working your offense when you score 65% of your shots in any one half. That was outstanding for UNK last night.
Yeah, 65%. You're going to win a lot of games shooting that at that rate. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, Mike Detlinger hit 19 of 21 after the break. Wow. You know, and he's leading the conference in field goal shooting anyway. And going 19 of 21, that isn't going to hurt that percentage none at all. So
I wonder what happened on those other two shots. You know, what was he thinking? What was he doing? Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll tell you what.
Hey, he was forcing something up.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. He's going to have to take better looks at the hoop. I don't know what he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah. And Delquan Thomas also did a great job as well as he was able to make a big bucket down the stretch. So everybody kind of playing their role for UNK. That was a nice win against the Ichabods, and they'll be back in action tomorrow afternoon as well. Well, don't forget that if you need to kind of find some quality meat, you got some quality shots from the Lopers and the Huskers last night. If you need quality meats, you need to head to Troutman's. Troutman's Quality Meats is USDA Choice Certified Angus Beef. The quality aged steaks is aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. And, of course, well, the big game is here. The Super Bowl is here, and Troutman's is your Super Bowl party headquarters. They have apple brats and fresh cherry bomb brats as well. Oh, they're so good. Hurry, they will not last long. So you probably need to get in today. Don't plan on them being there tomorrow morning, but you can check it out. You need to head in to Troutman's Quality Meats. They get their apple brats and the cherry bomb brats. They go fast. Snack sticks as well as summer sausages. Steak and ham loaf. They are fresh out of the smokehouse. They've got a batch of Polish and hot brats as well for you need those brats for the game, as well as State Fair brats. And for the guys with their own smokers, they have trim brisket and pork Butts for perfect for sandwiches, so that'll just fall off the bone if you can smoke it yourself. Speaking of sandwiches, Troutman's has your condiments as well, plus beers and wines to wash it all down. At Troutman's, there's always a large selection of fresh and smoked sausage. And if you haven't already done so, try their fresh frozen seafood available at Troutman's as well. At Troutman's, the service is friendly and personal. There's always someone at the counter to help you with your purchase, unlike those grocery store and meat departments. Whatever you need, they can get it cut to your specifications. They'll age it for you. They'll smoke it for you at Troutman's. And see them. They are a grill's best friend. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more, and we'll talk a little Husker recruiting when we come back after this.
When my husband turned 30, I didn't think much of it. I know men start to lose testosterone levels after 30. I just wasn't sure what that meant. Now I do. He gained weight, became moody, depressed, made excuses all the time to not have to do anything physical. It even got to the point where he never wanted to be romantic. A friend of mine told me about ManCore from Complete Nutrition, so I picked up some for my husband. He started using ManCore a little over a month ago. He's becoming himself again. He's lost 10 pounds, got his spark back, and is in much better moods. He's back to being the guy I fell in love with. If the man in your life isn't what he used to be, it could be low testosterone levels. It happens to all men. ManCore is specifically formulated for men over 30. It helped my husband. It can help yours too. ManCore from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
How to get an amazing deal on a great used car. Start with the most durable, longest-lasting brand in its class. Have it thoroughly inspected by a trained technician and reconditioned to meet Honda-certified standards. And you've got yourself a certified pre-owned Honda. Find the one that's right for you at HondaCertified.com. Durability based on longevity. Longevity based on Polk U.S. Vehicles and Operation Registration Statistics 1988 through 2012 for Honda and competing brands.
La 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 la. Scrubber, 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 boom, scrubber, boom, scrubber.
I love hot water.
If an endless supply of hot water sounds good,
can I get a what? Can I get a whoop?
Visit Rinnai.us, RINNAI.us, to see how Rinnai tankless water heaters can set you free.
Yo, can I get a witness? Can I get a witness?
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
A winter weather advisory continues for the listening area. Cloudy skies with light snow today, 1 to 2 inches. Highs will be in the mid-20s. Cloudy throughout tonight with another 1 to 2 inches of snow. Lows in the low teens. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 18.
Plant a tree for your tomorrow. It's your tree that clears the air. Plant a tree, trees for America. Plant a tree today for all the world to share. Taste the breezes, life inside you. Make a promise to the earth. Plant a tree, now is the time to recognize a tree for all that it is worth.
I feel like I should plant a tree. I just feel like I should plant a tree. But we're gonna have a little Nirvana later, little grunge, little Seattle feel for you. And so it's all part of a massive theme. Yeah.
Randy, I'm going to tell you right now, he can play this song all day, 24-7. I'm not planting a tree.
You're anti-planet? What is the deal there?
No, I like the song, but there's just no way. It's cold outside right now. It's really cold out there.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, well, the Groundhog Day is coming up, so we'll see. But you got to look to the future. You got to look to the future, and that's a little bit about what Husker recruiting is all about. It's also what T&L is all about, as we'll have a T&L Husker recruiting update brought to you by T&L Irrigation Systems. T&L center pivot owners have come to expect quality and dependability with every T&L irrigation system to assure many more years of reliable irrigation. Schedule your annual preventative maintenance program right now today. Do it today, as performing basic maintenance on the off-season will help pay you back as that summer heat does roll. Roll around, you know it's coming, so call your independent T&L dealer to thoroughly inspect your machine from the pivot line to the overhang. T&L irrigation systems are easier on you for a lifetime. And kind enough to join us to talk about Nebraska recruiting and with some breaking news is Brian Munson of Big Red Report. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How about yourself?
Not too shabby. I hear that you're able to tell us some stuff that's happening even as we speak, some Husker recruiting news.
Well, the only thing I woke up to this morning was that, you know, Wednesday was very quiet after a Tuesday being very busy, and Thursday was similarly, you know, very quiet, and not only just very quiet on, like, the recruiting front, like, from the Twitter, Twitter followers and people out there just kind of searching for things, but even from, like, the guys that were supposedly supposed to be coming in, all of them went very, very quiet about what was going on. But the word was, you know, kind of breaking this morning that supposedly there was this mystery defensive lineman. Well, that would make sense, right, because of Cedric King last weekend and the fact that Nebraska brought a guy in like Cedric King and were able to go ahead and get him to commit to Nebraska. But so did it really carry over? So now it seems, after looking around a little bit on Facebook, we might have found out who it is, and it sounds like it might be DeAndre Wills, who's a 6'2", 240-pound, uncommitted defensive end slash tight end. He's more of an athlete from Ashland, Alabama. Up to now, it sounds like, you know, he may have some offers, may have had some conditional offers. We had Auburn marked down as an offer. I think Mississippi State had offered him at one point. But as of right now, or at least last we knew, he was uncommitted. And on his Facebook page, it said, you know, planning my trip to go to Nebraska. And it had, like, the little wings of an airplane and a football and his football number. So that may be the guy we're all talking about come Sunday or Monday, you know, depending on whenever the official visit wraps up.
Hey, how about this A.J. Bosch, a quarterback from Georgia? I see where there's a possibility we might be getting him. Is that correct?
So A.J. Bush. Yeah,
Bush, okay, thank you.
Yeah, A.J. Bush from Norcross. Yes, when we spoke to him yesterday, actually Coach Warren from Nebraska was there, so a little bit awkward. Don't like those situations at all when we bumped heads and Nebraska's there, so backed off really quick when he said that he was visiting this weekend and that he had picked up an offer. I like this offer. I look at this guy, and I think Nebraska had kind of planned on taking a guy that was more of a dual threat quarterback that potentially they could get there and do some sort of a Jamal Taylor or Jamal Turner move with him if things didn't work out. But when you look at Bush, excuse me, man, I got all my names screwed up today. You look at Bush. He looks like a pretty solid quarterback. He's got this very effortless, you know, throwing motion. The ball jumps out of his hands. He's got very good accuracy. He throws the ball down the field. The one thing I got concerned of when I was watching his huddle highlights last night was that there weren't a lot of quick routes. Most of the stuff was really down the field, mostly to the middle, nothing really testing the edges. He runs pretty well. He's a good athlete. He's 6 foot, 390-pound guy. He's a lefty, so he's fun to watch. Lefties, just whenever they come up to bat in baseball or throwing a football, they look different. It looks better. It's a very pretty throw and release for Bush. And I think it's a guy that Nebraska, you know, if he falls into their laps, he's a good-looking prospect.
And Brian, if he can throw the deep ball, it does stand to reason they'd be able to hit those intermediate and those quick routes too, wouldn't it?
You know, most of that stuff comes down to timing. And I know that timing for high school to college jumps up anyway when you start talking about speed of the game. So if you're starting out fresh and you're starting out new and your offense mostly was the downfield variety where you're putting a little bit more air underneath it as opposed to trying to drill it in, when you start talking about taking that at a little bit different rate, number one, getting the ball, getting it in your hand, making a quick decision with it, and having to do a little bit more pinpoint as a bullet as opposed to putting some air underneath it. It's a little bit different of a ball game as opposed to a guy that can throw to space, that knows, you know, a little bit muscle familiarity. and knowing how far he's throwing the ball downfield when it comes to targeting his receivers, it's a different type of situation. I think also you have to have some experience when it comes to passing lanes. Now, he's a 6'3" guy, so he's not Taylor Martinez. You know, he's not a 6-footer, so he might be able to get that over the top of his linemen, although Nebraska, you know, they're bringing in these 6'5", 6'6", 6'7" guys, and that makes it difficult. So you have to know where those throwing lanes are at. So that takes some time to go ahead and develop. So it's a little bit different. You think if he could do the one, he could do the other. It's a little bit different, though.
You know, I would think the Nebraska fan will be happy if he comes here if he's 17 TDs, 3 interceptions, 6 out of 7 in every fourth quarter, and then he rushes for maybe 1,000 yards. We'll take him.
Well, I think the one thing about Bush that people haven't really factored in is that Norcross, Georgia is a powerhouse. I mean, they have got a ton of players. They'll be going Division I or going signing letters of intent next Wednesday anyway. And they got a really strong class looking at it next year. So I think it's a great way for Nebraska. I think, you know, you got to give some credit, of course, to the new coach on the assistant coach, Coach Warren from Nebraska. He's got those Georgia ties. Like I said, he was in the office, in the school that day when we heard about the offer. So clearly some credit being given to the newest member of the Nebraska coaching staff.
Brian Munson, the Big Red Report, helping us out with our T&L recruiting update. And since last time we talked to you, Brian, we did get some commitments. Nick Gates, Glenn Irons, Michael Wilbon. Talk a little bit about those that are kind of in the fold, whether or not they're going to stay, and what they're going to be able to bring to the program.
Well, Glenn Irons I really like. Now, he's an unrated wide receiver that I think actually could play in the defensive secondary if he was asked to. And I think a lot of schools were actually looking at him to do that. He's a very special returner. He's electric. He's a sub-6-footer. He's about a 5'10", 5'11 guy, 160, 170 pounds. And Nebraska has been looking for some guys that look a little bit different, I think, than the guys currently on their roster. They want to get quicker. They want guys that can work in one-on-one matchups and have that quickness to go ahead and make a quick move and get yards after the catch. So Glenn Irons definitely satisfies that, as well as the possibility of getting a punt returner on that team that Nebraska knows they need to go out there and address that. But they've got some other guys in the class, like a Josh Kalu or Demorne Pearson-L, that potentially could go ahead and satisfy that part of the game. Nick Gates, probably the top offensive lineman recruit that Nebraska had on their list for the entire year. Bishop Gorman recruit from Las Vegas. Nebraska's always kind of just struck out when it came to this high school. They would be in the thick of it very late with their players, but then in the end they would end up losing out. So very good idea to go ahead and get a guy like that in from a top high school in Las Vegas. Tony Sanchez runs a great program out there, Bishop Gorman. The one thing I guess I'd pass on about Nick Gates was this. In talking all my conversations with Tony Sanchez, he would not stop talking about Barney Cotton and Bo Pelini being so effective in the living room, in the school, and just being very personable coaches. I mean, and that's going up against Oregon and UCLA and Arizona, you know, and some of the top 10s in the Pac-12. So, I mean, that's great to get that validation when it comes to Nebraska coaching staff and how they compare. Mikhail Wilbon, we talked about, from De La Salle in Chicago. 5'9", getting very close to 200 pounds from what I've been told. Very thick-framed guy. I know that in talking to him, the Nebraska coaching staff thought he looked a lot like Trey Mason from Auburn. I think he looks a little bit like a former Nebraska running back named D'Angelo Evans. Both, you know, comparisons should probably be a huge deal for him. I think that both those guys were effective running backs. They've got the right tool set. I think that this is the kind of running back that Nebraska is very fortunate to find very late in the game. And obviously it was a chance for them to go ahead and kind of part ways with a guy like Corey Avery from Dallas Carter, who was brought in on an official visit last weekend, who Nebraska is now not recruiting anymore because of Wilbon.
Well, got about 5 days left before everything gets all signed up. I know like Markell Boston, Lamar Jackson, a couple of names that they're still kind of dangling out there that they hope they get. Do you see in the next 5 days some major landings here? And if so, what direction do you think Nebraska is going?
Well, it's clear they're looking for defensive ends. I mean, if the Wills information is true, you may also have as many as two other defensive ends in town this weekend. You have Blake McClain from Sandalwood, who confirmed to me yesterday that he was going to Lincoln today, which is a former Florida State commitment, who recently was told he had to take a gray shirt to go ahead and get to Tallahassee, and he decided to go ahead and open it back up again. Really, really like his film. He potentially could be a defensive tackle. In fact, he plays more of a three technique on his film already from Sandalwood. He had Lloyd Tubman, a Penn State commitment, and supposedly supposed to be in there in Lincoln this weekend. We've been unable to really track him down yet, but of course, the last word we got on him was that he was going to be there. And then you brought up Markell Lofton. I really like this guy's film when it comes to him playing the safety position. He's a physical presence. He's very quick. Again, another returner that can do some things with the ball in his hands in the return game. And, you know, A.J. Bush, we talked about. I think that that's a possibility. You talk about Deshaun Blair, who's on an official visit to Missouri this weekend. You have Kenyon Freeson, the offensive lineman that's down, really down to, like, Oklahoma and Nebraska and possibly Utah. There's a number of guys out there Nebraska fans should be paying attention to, you know, looking into these next 3 to 4, 5 days possibly. This official visit weekend will wrap up, you know, pretty much all of that, and National Signing Day should be a blast. But I think that there could be as many as 4, maybe 5 guys still to jump in this class.
Well, and for the next year, Junior Day is coming up this weekend. How important is that for Nebraska? What are some things that they're going to pull out of their hat this weekend?
It's big. I mean, I'm not sure I'm a huge fan of having the Junior Day before Letter of Intent Signing Day, but I understand the theory. It's kind of a national trend now where these schools are starting to put that Junior Day in the weekend before Signing Day. But, I mean, Nebraska's got some great players coming in. You have Eric Lee and Avery Anderson, the two cornerbacks from Colorado. You have Christian Gaylord from Baldwin, Kansas. Michael Decker, who has an offer, in-state kid from Omaha. Calvin Strong, running backs from Omaha as well. Grant Schmidt from South Dakota. I mean, and you have the Davis brothers from Blue Springs that both have offers, both defensive tackles with ties back to Nebraska. This is a great group of recruits that Nebraska is able to get in there this weekend. And I think, you know, you probably look for at least one commit. I could see a guy like Michael Decker jumping in this weekend, which would be great. Michael Decker's film to me looks like he could play both sides of the football, either offensive line or defensive line. It'll be a great start to the 2015 class.
Well, Brian, as always, just love to hear from you. It's great to get kind of caught up a little bit. Is there anything that we've kind of left out there? Anything else that you need to add before we get everything all wrapped up here?
Just pay attention to Big Red Report. This thing is going to be a whirlwind. It's been spinning for the last week, and it'll be spinning all the way to Wednesday about 2 o'clock.
All right, Brian, that's great advice. I appreciate your time.
I'll talk to you guys on Wednesday.
All right, thanks, Brian. That's Brian Munson of Big Red Report. He's absolutely right. It's a great follow. Get on there, and they'll give you all that great information. He also has a nice Twitter account as well. So that's Brian Munson from Big Red Report as Nebraska in the final throws before we get all done with this on Wednesday. And obviously, you can't really run with the thoroughbreds unless you got somebody that can kind of pull the wagon a little bit. So I think Nebraska is in the mix on some pretty good talent there, and we'll see whether or not that pans out come Wednesday, because you don't really have them until you have them. And then once the paperwork is in, then you can kind of breathe that sigh of relief.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's exactly correct.
You know, Clink Scales, we kind of thought we had him as well, and it didn't really turn out that well. So right now it's time for us to get you kind of caught up with what you need to do here for lunch, because Big Dally's Deli will get that all taken care of for you, as they got locations on North 2nd Avenue in Hastings, on 2nd Street in North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. They're on West 2nd Street in Hastings. They number things a little bit different in those two towns. And of course, on South Street in Hastings as well. They got a bazillion different sandwiches there. The menu, you can just pick a random number here and kind of come up with something really, really good to have. And I'm kind of jonesing for the pastrami Reuben. It would be something I kind of need to get kind of going on here. Is there something that, Jeff, you got something in mind?
48, Super Bowl 48.
Oh, Super Bowl 48. Well, that would be Mike's Super Combo. Oh, that's Kismet right there. Mike's Super Combo with salami, turkey, and bacon. That sounds awfully good. So not only do they have those great ingredients, but all those different condiments that they can kind of get you all worked up with as Big Dally's Deli get you taken care of in all three locations, as the Tri-Cities will get you all taken care of. And, you know, coming up right around the corner is not only do we have national recruiting day on Wednesday. But coming up right around the corner is the Nebraska Danger getting back in action on February 10th. And they've got some titles that they need to defend and came within a field goal of winning the whole enchilada. And kind enough to join us to talk about it is the head coach of the Nebraska Danger. And, Coach, it's great to hear from you, and congratulations. I haven't had really a chance to talk to you since last year's play, but Mike Davis, we really want to say congratulations to everything you got done last year, and hope what is it going to take to get just that much better to kind of come away with the whole thing this year?
Well, thanks for having me on, but, you know, I'm excited about the group. We got about 16 guys returning, from a, you know, obviously losing by 3 points in the championship, and we got some good key new additions that I think can help us get over the hump. Obviously, the whole league has gotten a little tougher this year, as it does every year. But you know, I like on paper, I like what we have. We got about half the guys in town already, and the rest of them trying to fight the conditions to get in the next 2 days, and so we'll get to work starting on Monday.
Well, a great starting point is re-signing the most valuable player from a year ago, Jameel Sewell, who just was unconscious for you guys at quarterback and made you guys one of the most feared offenses in the league. Obviously, very important to bring him back, but also his receiving core. You've brought back the heart and soul of the receiving core as well.
Yeah, we actually got back all four of our receivers and Jameel, and as good as they were last year, you know, you go back and watch, and we only scored on about 60% of our plays. We had a lot of plays that were we missed reads and guys were running the wrong route because it was a new system we put in. So hopefully it will continue to improve and we'll be another feared offense this season.
How about your defensive backs? Did you get are they back too, or did you have to go with a whole new program with your defense?
No, we got Pig Brown's going to move from safety to linebacker. That's going to be a huge addition for us. And then, you know, with it, we're keeping three or four of the same DBs. You know, we got a couple of new addition guys. Maurice Roll played at Louisiana Lafayette, actually played last year with the Houston Texans. You know, in addition to him and a couple other guys, you know, I'm excited to see how the competition heats up in camp.
Does last year's success kind of help with the sales pitch? I mean, in a sense, you've got to go out and recruit, just like a college coach does. You kind of have to sell people on the program. The success, the energy that you guys had in the building last year, does that kind of help you in terms of you finding players?
Yeah, I mean, you know, winning cures everything. it's the cliche motto, but it's true. And guys kind of understand what we have going on here, and really the players recruit for us. Obviously, I do all the recruiting, so I do a lot of phone calls and stuff. But players around the league kind of know what they want and what they've heard about. And then you know, guys from schools, for example, you know, Claude Roten came to us with 4 games left in the season. He was a D tackle for us, and the word got out. One of his buddies back at LSU. Went to the Seattle Seahawks, got cut this year, and was looking for somewhere to play. You're talking about a defensive end who's 6'4", 290, played behind Barkevious Mingo, who was the number 6 pick in the draft last year. Just needed to get some more film, didn't want to sit around a whole year and wait. And so, you know, he just got to town and looks great. So, you know, if everybody continues to show up looking good, it, you know, recruiting will take care of itself.
How about the teams? Are there some changes with new teams in the league? Did some teams leave the league, et cetera?
No, well, Chicago actually left. They're actually supposedly they're coming back next year. We had the addition of Bemidji, Minnesota, who we play. We end up playing them twice. So besides that, the league's still at, 9 teams, I believe. And, you know, there's talent from top to bottom. That's one of the things that you don't have to worry about is getting a cupcake game every week or once a month. It's a dogfight every week.
You guys will hit the field on Monday the 10th. That'll be your first game, your home opener against the Haymakers. Obviously you got to get everything polished up, but what are the major areas of, I don't want to say concern, but the biggest obstacles you got to overcome between now and February 10th?
So honestly, just making sure that everybody's in shape. You know, the conditioning for this game is unlike anything anybody's ever seen, and they just have to get used to it. We'll do a lot of conditioning stuff at the beginning of the season, and just to make sure that everybody's on the same page, and just that's the biggest thing. You know, playbooks are playbooks. Guys take them home. Guys read them. You know, guys have to study and be a professional, but you can't. You can't get used. You can't. There's nothing you can do to train for this type of conditioning.
Just go out there and play. Just go after each other and get in that football condition, which is different than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, guys, you know, say all the time, oh, I've been running, I've been doing this, I've been playing basketball. But until you get out there and you put the pads on and you're, you know, we practice at a high tempo. We try to run about 200 plays of practice. So if we can get those done, and you know, once we get to game time, things pretty much slow down and become a little easier for everybody.
Talking with Mike Davis, the head coach of the Nebraska Danger. They'll be in action a week from Monday, which is kind of mind-boggling that's coming up that quick. As you look at things right now, what is one area you kind of look at and you say, you know what, I think this year's team is going to be better than last year's team at this one element?
Yeah, I would have to say right now with the guys that we have coming in town, I would probably say our offensive defensive line. You know, our receivers were good, our DBs were good. I mean, we blew some coverages last year, but it was mental mistakes, not physical. Offensive line wise, I think we got a lot better, and we were great last year. You know, defensive line, I think that with the addition of Chancey and Aronde Stanton and this kid Randy Spellman from Louisville, you know, I think that those guys are going to give us a lot more pressure up front. And so, realistically, that's what I'm looking for. You know, it makes it a whole lot easier if you can protect and get pressure.
Yeah, you're exactly in that league. To me, it seems like it's not the touchdowns that you get; it's more as how many stops you get. Because you know, a lot of times people will go back and forth scoring against each other, but it's the stops you get that's critical. Do you agree with that or not?
I do. You know, guys can drive down the field. I'm not a numbers guy, and I don't really care about the stats. The only two stats I care about is sacks and interceptions. And if guys want to drive down the field and we give up a ton of yards a game, that's fine. Once they get in the red zone, if we can get, you know, not give up touchdowns and can make them kick field goals, we're going to win a lot of football games.
Yeah, and especially when they get that gas price. I always like that when they give those gas cards and you get that many. You're scoring 80, 90 points then when you get those gas cards, because they do that with Pump and Pantry, and they give like 90 cents off per gallon, you know, if they score 90 points. And a lot of times you're definitely in the 70s and 80s. So save people a lot of money. Keep that up.
Yeah, you know, it's a fun way to give a perk to customers at the Pump and Pantry. You know, obviously the expectations are high with the return of Jameel, and you know, we had a good. You know, I was happy with getting Cody Kirby, the rookie of the year, and then obviously, you know, get Jameel to fall back into my lap. And I'm pretty happy with where we're at right now.
Well, Mike, I'm sure we'll be checking in before now and Monday, February the 10th, when you guys kick things off in your home opener against the Haymakers. Best of luck to you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right, that's Mike Davis, the head coach of the Nebraska Danger. And again, they're going to be in action a week from Monday, and I'm sure sometime next week we'll get updated with him exactly where they're at, maybe even a week from Monday as they get ready for that home opener on Monday night. This is the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Don't forget that right now at Midway Auto Dealerships, the Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and the Midway Chevy Buick Cadillac, there's additional rebates for Ram trucks that go through the end of the month, which basically means you better get in there very, very quickly. Today's the day. You don't have to trade in your Ram to get a new Ram. You just have to be one to qualify for this special additional discount. Everyday low hassle free prices with 500 vehicles that are available. The Midway certified program with a year of oil changes. You'll get 60,000 mile warranty on that vehicle as well. And a 2-year, 100,000 mile powertrain warranty. You won't have anything to worry about. And also, everyone gets free car washes with the purchase as long as you have the vehicle, which is awfully nice at this time of year. So give them a visit on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Their complete inventory is also at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. We'll take a break. We'll start talking Super Bowl. We come back after this.
Jerseys has all the games you want to see for the season. Get to Jerseys on Husker game days. Free Jello shots for everyone when the Huskers score a touchdown. Beer and lots of food specials. Jerseys has the full NFL package and offers $3 Bloody Marys all day long. And the best bucket prices in town. Remember, there are specials every night at Jerseys. Happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Jerseys Sports Bar and Grill, located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, North Kearney, where the game and the grill are always on.
Thank you.
Hi, it's the Herd. With Valentine's fast approaching, do what I do. Wow her this Valentine. With roses from 1-800-Flowers.com. Your rose authority. Okay, first of all, they got a limited time offer just for my listeners. Available only today. Just today, order a dozen roses and get six additional roses and a vase for $29.99. That's 18 roses and a vase for under $30. Plus, upgrade to 24 roses, two dozen, and a box of chocolates, just $10 more. But you need to order now, because this offer ends today. Only while supplies last, and they'll run out. Order today for Valentine's delivery. Don't screw it up, guys. They'll never forget. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com. From your desktop or mobile device, click on the radio mic upper right side, enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. Enter Colin. Or you can always just call 1-800-FLOWERS and mention my first name.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A winter weather advisory continues for the listening area. Cloudy skies with light snow today, 1 to 2 inches. Highs will be in the mid-20s. Cloudy throughout tonight with another 1 to 2 inches of snow. Lows in the low teens. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 18.
Here to the Doug and Daddy Show. Don't forget that tomorrow, a great event going on, a youth basketball clinic tomorrow, Saturday with the Bearcats from 9 to about 10 a.m. at the Kearney High School. They'll be using both the North and South Gym, so get there a little bit before 9. A free basketball clinic with Kearney High coaches and the players. This is for boys in grades 4th through 7th. They're welcome to attend. Not only do they get to have that hour with the team and get some good coaching in there as well, but they'll also get a free ticket for the Kearney High home game that night against Omaha Northwest. The JV game will be at 5:15, which will be the same time as the girls' varsity game. And then the boys' varsity will be at 7 o'clock on tomorrow night as well. So, again, that is the Saturday with the Bearcats tomorrow from 9 until 10 a.m. And Jim Lang, we were kind of talking during the break a little bit about charges and blocks. It kind of was precipitated by our discussion of the Nebraska-Michigan game that really came down to that block charge call as an official, what are you looking at to decide if it's a block or if it's a charge?
Yeah, we had one of our listeners that evidently texted in or emailed. Is that right?
Yeah,
texted in or called. You know, the main thing on a block charge, I'll do as good as I can to try to explain this, is you've got to watch. If you can get to a spot where you can watch the defensive player, that's the main thing. It's not really so much what the offensive player does as much as what the defense. You want to watch the defense. If he can get himself set and get his feet down and he takes one right in the middle of the chest, he's going to have a really good chance to get a charge. I mean, if he can get his feet down and he'll take one right in the middle of his chest, that's what we kind of look for to see if it's going to be a charge or not. So that's the ultimate thing you look at. Now, there's other things the offensive player can do: throw an elbow, shove off, push
off.
Sure,
you're creating space.
Yeah, exactly. Which would be also a player control foul. But the number one thing you're looking at is his feet, and especially with that circle they have in the NCAA. Which you don't have in high school. In the NCAA, I mean, the last two games I worked with junior college games, so we had that to watch. You know, that's another reason why you have to watch the feet of the player, you know what I mean, to see where he's at. Go ahead.
I got a couple questions. Does that semicircle apply in high school as well?
No.
But it's not on the floor?
No.
So you can be right underneath the basket.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as being too low.
No, but there is some common sense there where if a player is not even playing the ball. I mean, he just happens to be standing 1 foot, you know, in bounds. And, I mean, he's close enough to almost be taking the ball out of bounds. You might pass on that. You're not going to call a foul on the defense for doing that, but you might pass on the whole situation because he did not get himself in a really good position to play basketball and play defense.
And you mentioned being set. Is there an amount of time you got to be set, or is it set contact and that's, you know, that there doesn't have to be a time separation there when you're set?
If he's already left the floor, you can't get your feet underneath him, and the first thing he does is come up and hit you. You've got to give him room before, you know, if he hasn't left the floor yet. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, even when so when a lot of times if that guy's going in for a dunk, you know, or a driving layup, either way, I mean, he's going to have more room where you've got to get yourself in front of him, you know, because of the movement and how fast he's going. You know, if that makes sense to you, too. So, you know, the number one factor, though, the number one thing is I want the guy to take it in the chest. If he takes it in the chest pretty hard, he's probably going to get the charge. If he takes it off the side of his hip, it's probably going to be a no call. You know, the offensive maneuvered himself enough. And a lot of times those guys, and you've seen that too, Randy, where a guy will flop.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, and, you know, that's...
There's not even contact.
Yeah, or there was some contact, but it wasn't enough to constitute a foul, too.
Yeah. So. I had an interesting scenario last night. Kid made a steal, going in for the layup, missed the layup because it was contested, and it's hanging on the rim. One of his teammates comes up, actually the defender came up behind it and slapped the backboard as the ball was kind of on the rim, and they called a technical.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what. Probably in the high school officials, it's really I wouldn't say it's disappointing, but it's something we got to get better at as high school officials. And fans too. Fans always want a technical foul, and they're screaming it, and you can't listen to that. You can't listen to what they're doing and how bad it looks. And it doesn't matter how hard they hit it, how bad it looks. It's not a technical foul if they're playing the ball. If they're trying to block a shot, if they're making an attempt to play it. No, and I know it looks bad, and I know everybody wants that called, but by the rule book, if they're trying to play the ball and they're trying to block a shot, they can hit that backboard as hard as they want to. Now, in your case, you said that ball's on the rim. That you could count the hoop for, you know, vibrating that ball because it was on there and maybe caused the ball to go out. You're going to get yourself in some trouble on that because it's not very likely the ball's still on the rim. But that is with the Nebraska School Activities and the National Federation. That's the guideline we're supposed to go through. The other misconception, the one that's bad, is if the ball's on the floor, if it's on the floor, the ball is there and a player dives for it, they can slide for, you know, they can slide for here to Brady as long as they don't go out of bounds. They can slide with that ball, and everybody wants you to, and you're going to get yelled at, but it's not traveling. It's not traveling until they turn around or bend over. They can actually get up a little bit, you know, with their back and just kind of look left and right. Usually it's nice if somebody calls timeout then and gets the referee out of trouble, but that's another one that kind of, when you're talking about different things, but there isn't an answer, but the block charge, if they take in the chest, that's what I try to go by. But that doesn't mean I'm right every time. I get yelled at myself.
Yeah. Another one that people kind of question is the over and back kind of situation. They don't understand that to establish in the offensive zone, both feet and the ball, And, you know, those couple times I heard some yells last night, but only two of the three, you know, were across there, so they hadn't established over and back yet. So, yeah, it's always nice to talk to the official, get this all straightened out.
Let's talk Super Bowl.
All right, let's do. We're going to take a break first, and we'll take a look at who the fans thought is going to win the Super Bowl. We'll also get our opinions as well, and we might even hear from Doug Duda, who is in position to try to invest in this situation. We'll talk with Doug, and we'll talk the Super Bowl when we come back right after this.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
This year, Guitar Center turns 50. 50! From the British invasion to Britpunk, hair metal to hip-hop, Guitar Center has been there, helping all musicians feel the greatest feeling on earth. And to celebrate, this weekend they have 50 amazing special anniversary deals for $50 or less. Like a $120 Pearl snare drum, now just 50 bucks. Or turn your iPhone into a full-blown workstation with an iRig MIDI interface for iOS devices, also just 50 bucks. Get these deals and tons more at Guitar Center this weekend only, Thursday through Sunday.
La 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 la. Scrubber, 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 boom, scrubber, boom, scrubber.
I love hot water.
If an endless supply of hot water sounds good,
can I get a what, what? Can I get a whoop, whoop?
Visit Rinnai.us, RINNAI.us, to see how Rinnai tankless water heaters can set you free.
Yo, can I get a witness? Can I get a witness?
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
And welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show as we've made musically the transition to get to New York, as we'll be talking about the Super Bowl. Jimmy Langan, Randy Bushcutter, and here in a moment we'll be talking with Doug Duda. But our topic, of course, is who's going to win the Super Bowl, and that was the topic of our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Who wins the Super Bowl? And 81% of you said the Denver Broncos, 19% went with the Seahawks, and our question that will be up over the weekend, what will you remember most about the outgoing NBA Commissioner David Stern? Will it be the creation of the lottery? Will it be the two lockouts that occurred back in 99 and in 2011? The growth of the league and globalization of the league? The referee Tim Donaghy scandal, or others? Those are your options. And so you can give us an idea by logging on to our Midtown Mart Cooler question and letting us know your opinion. And again, we're pretty pro Broncos around here, apparently, with those selections. And, well, it's time to talk about it a little bit more. Doug Duda joining us from the home of where you can actually kind of invest on that kind of knowledge down in Las Vegas. Doug, it's good to know that you're still alive and kicking. It's good to hear from you, man.
Number of touchdown passes by Russell Wilson, first turnover of the game, the first player to score a touchdown, how many field goals, my head hurts. Why does my head hurt?
There's another reason why your head hurts, but we won't discuss that on the air, I'm sure. And by the way, I should have given you some money. I kind of wanted to invest a little bit in the first touchdown score, but maybe we'll have a conversation. We'll discuss that. We'll talk about that. I kind of want to bet on one on each team and just kind of hedge it just a little bit, so I have kind of some vested interest. I'd kind of like to put like 10 bucks on Welker and maybe 10 bucks on Marshawn Lynch and hope that Monty Ball or a quarterback sneak doesn't hose me somehow, but
you get Peyton at 20 or 25 to 1 to score the first touchdown, which obviously means running it in. So.
Yeah, well, I don't think we have enough time for him to make a run for a touchdown. He won't have that amount of time, I don't think.
I think these guys have gotten so much smarter in Vegas, the odds aren't as big as they used to be. Although Richard Sherman's 30-1 to score the first touchdown, Jimmy.
Is that right? Hey, I'll bet if he does, he'll hand the ball to the official very quietly. You know, hey, Doug, I got two things I want to tell you to remember. And so this will make you hey, number one, make sure you get plenty of sleep when you're out there. A lot of people, when they go to Vegas, they get plenty of sleep. And the other thing is you want to start a checking account when you're out there. You know what I mean? That you want to get out there and see what kind of interest rates they have in the banks so you can start a checking account.
Find where the ATM machines are, yeah.
I don't know why it said transaction denied, but, you know, whatever. So what do you guys think? Who you like? What's the prediction on the game? I'll give you my prediction first, and you guys tell me because, you know, last year, of course, I was exactly correct on who was in the Super Bowl. So this year.
Let it go.
My prediction, because I'm sure I'm right again this year, I will take the Houston Texans 23 and the Saints 21.
Who do you like, Denver, Seattle, Doug?
Well, again, we've talked about this, Jimmy, throughout the playoffs here. I have just not liked Seattle. At the beginning of the year, I said they were the most overrated team in the National Football League, and they should have lost on opening day at Carolina. They didn't. They won all the games that came down to, you know, pick them. Those fourth quarter games, they won them all. And I was totally wrong about the Seahawks, and that's the problem. They're still there. So in my 40-plus years of existence, that usually means that they're gonna win this football game. The problem is I don't want them to. I ain't picking them. Denver 30, Seattle 20.
Good. That's a good prediction. 30-20.
That's my prediction. It just came to me a couple of days ago, 30-20. That's my prediction, Denver.
I'm in that neighborhood in terms of total points. I think that Denver, late in the game, is going to need to score a touchdown to take the lead, and they've got a quarterback that's going to get it done. And again, I'm not saying that Russell Wilson can't, but I just think more likely when you have that drive where you've got to get something done, I can't think of anybody in the National Football League right now I would rather be in that situation than Peyton Manning, than anybody else. And I think it's going to come down to a situation like that. Manning will make the play, and I'm thinking it's going to be the Broncos 27-24.
What's Jimmy got?
One of the things I'm going to play is I'm going to play the field goals over. There's an attempt at over 3.5 attempted for the game. I'm going to definitely take the over on that. There's a website I have, you know, and maybe you probably have one too, but it's 3.5 total field goals. There's another one that both teams will kick a field goal of over 32 yards. And I'm going to play that. Those are my top two things. I think that Denver got a weaker division to get to the Super Bowl. I think Seattle had to play a much tougher schedule to get to the Super Bowl. I think that Seattle will win the game, but it's only because of that reason. It has nothing to do with Denver not being good, and it has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that Seattle had a much tougher teams to beat than Denver did.
No doubt about it, and this is the number one offense versus the number one defense. This is what the true purists, I guess, would want to see. And can you remember back in Week 9 when some people thought Denver was going to be one of the greatest teams of all time, and yet they're only a 2-point favorite in the Super Bowl? So that tells you something too.
Well, I think a little bit of that is the discussion that Peyton Manning can't win in cold weather games because he always had to play playoff games on the road, because for years, whenever there was a playoff game when it was cold, if it was outside and cold, that means he wasn't playing in the dome in Indianapolis. So he kind of has this reputation of not winning cold weather games because all those games were on the road at a team seated higher in the playoffs. And I thought that the whole discussion was kind of crazy. But I think that's one reason why people think that.
Yeah. Hey, well, I'm supposed to get you a score, and I got 30-27. They wanted me to put a score down. I didn't need to, I guess, but Jeff wanted me to put it down, so I got 30-27 Seattle.
I also want to give you a couple that Mike Perennial, our buddy here at Mandalay Bay, who we have on numerous times on the Doug and Daddy Show throughout the year. He said he likes the over-unders in this game. He likes unders in the first half, overs in the second half, because he thinks, you know, Peyton is pretty good about feeling out the other team, and Seattle's going to want to run the football, and the first quarter might not even have much of a score at all. And then once they get that figured out, he thinks Seattle might even be ahead at halftime, kind of like Randy said, and Peyton will have to bring his team back, put some points on the board. So just for what it's worth, he likes the first half unders and the second half overs.
Doug, that's really good, because that's what we had last time, you and I, when we were talking about San Francisco and Seattle, how much we liked the first half unders. You know, we talked that being maybe that score would be 7-6 or 7-3, and I think it was 10-3. So you're right.
That makes sense to me. Absolutely.
I just hope I can watch some of the commercials.
You might be in a position where you can't do that. I'm DVRing the game, so if you need to get caught up, you know.
You probably won't even watch it live, will you?
I will. Actually, the Super Bowl, I will, because I won't be skipping the commercials, because the commercials are part of the fun of when you do that. So, not sure where I'm watching the game at yet. My wife hasn't decided where I'm going. That's a different story altogether.
All right, well, enjoy the good basketball tonight, and let's have fun and rehash it again on Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a great game tonight. I got Elm Creek and Overton for the regular season Fort County Conference title on our sister station, Classic Hits 98.9. Looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun.
Doug, I'm going to North Platte to referee Southeast at North Platte tonight, so I'll be thinking of you when I'm driving in the snow in the state of Nebraska.
Yeah, I heard you guys got some.
Yeah, thanks for reminding us of that. Enjoy your sandstorms that you got there in Vegas, buddy.
Yeah, it is. They said yesterday was like the windiest day they've had in a year out here, so at least I wasn't far from home on that. You know, we're in the 50s with the possibility of a little rain shower today, which also freaks them out here.
Yeah, rain would probably throw them off. We saw what 2 inches of snow will do in Atlanta, so it'll mess things up here. All right, Doug.
All right, hope I get to see you again sometime.
I'm cautiously optimistic myself. Thanks, Doug.
Go Broncos.
Doug, it's time for breakfast buffet. Go.
I'm out. See ya.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap things up for our edition, Friday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Of course, on Monday, we will rehash the Super Bowl, we might even talk about commercials. Who knows? Certainly want to thank Brian Munson of the Big Red Report for getting us updated with Nebraska recruiting. Wednesday, going to be a big day for the Huskers. And Mike Davis, the head coach of the Nebraska Danger. They'll be in action a week from Monday as well, as he's getting everything all set and ready to go. If you get a chance, go out and check out some of those great high school basketball games are going to be around the area. Kearney, Grand Island tonight. That'll be in Grand Island. That'll be a great game, and I'm looking forward to Overton and Elm Creek, especially the boys game on our sister station, Classic Hits 98.9 FM. Jim, enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll talk to you Monday.
Yeah, take care.
All right, we'll be back with the Doug and Daddy Show Monday at 11 a.m. See us then.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!